U.S. average gasoline prices crossed $4 a gallon this weekend, directly attributed to the Iran conflict's disruption of oil supply flows. To put that in context, $4 isn't the catastrophic threshold it might have been a decade ago in terms of demand destruction, but it's a psychologically significant number for American consumers. The administration understands that. And this is where the Jimmy Carter comparisons that the president is now apparently trying to suppress become relevant. Rising gas prices, plus a Middle East military engagement, plus inflation anxiety, is a combination with very specific historical echoes, and Trump's aides have clearly noticed him moderating his Carter rhetoric as the parallels tighten.
The Carter parallel is politically interesting, but also somewhat imprecise. The 1979 hostage crisis and oil embargo happened to Carter. The current Iran conflict is a U.S.-initiated military campaign. The inflation dynamics are different in origin, even if the consumer experience at the pump feels similar. But political perception operates on vibes as much as specifics. And gas over $4 while we're at war in the Middle East is a vibes problem for any incumbent.
Let's move to the China dimension, because it's genuinely complex right now. Rubio confirmed this morning that Xi Jinping's planned September visit to the United States is still on track, even as Trump has recently accused China of election interference. That's a significant diplomatic signal. The administration is apparently compartmentalizing. It can accuse China of meddling while simultaneously maintaining the highest level bilateral engagement on the calendar. Whether that compartmentalization survives contact with congressional pressure or another provocation in the South China Sea is an open question.
The CIA probe into UAE-China AI technology ties is directly connected to this. The intelligence community has been investigating whether UAE state entities were serving as conduits for China to access advanced AI chips and capabilities that are subject to U.S. export controls. The finding here, and this is the interesting twist, is that resolving that probe apparently helped unlock broader U.S. semiconductor access for Gulf allies. Essentially, the UAE cooperated with U.S. intelligence on the China angle, and the reward was greater access to American AI chips. It's a window into how the chip access framework actually operates in practice. It's not purely rule-based. It's a leverage and reward dynamic.
The Mercor CEO's comment that U.S. immigration policy is sabotaging American AI fits into this larger picture. The argument is that restricting highly skilled immigrant researchers and engineers, many of whom would otherwise work at frontier AI labs in the U.S., simply relocates that talent to competitor nations rather than keeping it away from AI development altogether. It's a structural argument that cuts across the typical immigration debate framing, and it's getting traction in tech and venture circles.
On the NATO and Ukraine front, that delivery gap on aid pledges is striking. When NATO heads of state announced 140 billion euros in Ukraine support, it was presented as a firm commitment. The tracking data showing only 10 billion of 70 billion pledged for 2026 delivered by April suggests either that the pipeline is slower than advertised or that some members pledged amounts they're not actually moving. Six EU member states demanding exemptions from the 21st Russia sanctions package adds to the picture of an alliance that is rhetorically unified, but operationally fragmented. Russia's accelerating missile drawdown should, in theory, make this moment the one to press, which makes the delivery shortfall more consequential.
The global travel warning the State Department issued as the Iran conflict escalates is worth a brief note for listeners with travel plans. This is a Category 1 global advisory, meaning it applies to essentially all international destinations, driven by the elevated risk of Iranian or Iranian proxy retaliation against American citizens and interests abroad. We haven't seen a global advisory at this level since the early months of the COVID pandemic. It's an administrative action, but it tells you how the risk calculus looks inside Foggy Bottom right now.